أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. Can you please give me the markers, brothers of If you put your hand inside this small closet, from the inside, from that side, you will find a marker and the eraser. Thank you. Shukran lakum, jazakallah, ahsant. So we discussed the ahkam of adhan and iqama in a little bit detail, and that's almost complete now. And today we will continue forward with, after the adhan, it's the aqsam, the types of wajibat in the salat. So we continue with that discussion, and there are two types of wajibs. There are two types of wajib in the prayers. The first one is wajibun rukni, and the second one is wajibun ghair rukni. Rukni means the pillar wajib. Ghair rukni means the non-pillar. So this is something that is very fundamental about the salat, because the difference, the total list of wajibat in the salat are 11, and among these 11, there are 5 which are pillar wajibs, and there are 6 which are non-pillar wajibs. So those 5 and 6 collectively together are 11, and definitely we need to learn all the 11. So before we mention the pillar ones, the difference between pillar and non-pillar wajib is that any negligence whether intentional or, number two, unintentional or by forgetting. In all the three cases, the salat will be batil. In the pillar wajib, these are three types of negligence. You can either do it amdan, or sahwan aw nisyanan. So in all the three cases, your salat will be batil, whether you intentionally ignore any of the pillar wajibs or unintentionally ignore it, or by forgetfulness, you forgot it. Whereas in the non-pillar wajib, only intentional negligence is harmful, whereas the unintentional or negligence by forgetting does not make the salat batil. Does not invalidate the prayers. That's the difference between pillar wajib and non-pillar wajib. So in the pillar wajib, all the three are harmful for the salat. It becomes batil. You don't have to continue the salat. The salat is already batil. You just finish it and you start from the scratch. As soon as you do any of those intentional or unintentional or nisyan, and you forgot one of those pillar wajibs, just quit the prayers from there and start from the scratch, because it's gone. You cannot compensate. You cannot do jibran. You cannot do anything that can fix the problem. Pillar wajibs are that important. The non-pillar wajibs, only if you intentionally mess up with that, your salat is batil. Unintentional, your salat is not batil. Continue with the salat. If you forgot, your salat is not batil. Continue with the salat. And obviously we have the rulings that will apply, how if you did something wrong, how to fix it, how to repair it, or in some cases we can do it, it's not late. So we will come to those points, how we address each of those cases where a person unintentionally, sahwan or by forgetting, nisyanan, messes up with the non-pillar wajib. Unintentional means you are not mutawajjih. You did it, but you are not mutawajjih that this is. For example, there are cases where a person let me give you an example. So, if you are doing the sajda, for example, so. For example, sometimes you do the sajda and you are doing it in speed and your head touches two times over the turbat. So this is sahwan. This is not nisyanan. You're not forgetting it. You know that doing sajda, one sajda extra will make the salat batil. But you're not intentionally adding a new sajda. This is sahwan. This is called sahwan. You are unintentionally, you are doing it in fast with speed, and because of your speed, your forehead touches two times, for example. Some of the time, three times maybe. But there is another ruling also which applies in that case. If you are able, after your head touches once, are you able to lift your head without letting the head touch again? Then you should lift your head, because once your head is touched, it is counted to be a sajda. Although maybe the rest of the parts of the body although maybe you did not read anything, which you did not. You did not read anything. You were doing fastly, so you are not reading the zikr. So you did not read anything, but the sajda is done because the itlaq al musamma is there. The itlaq of sajda happens when your forehead touches the soil. So now, what would happen? The ruling says if you can lift your head when it touches once and it's about to go back to the turbat because you're doing so fast, but you can control yourself not to go to the turbat again and you can lift your head, then you have to lift your head. Now that one sajda is counted. This was sahwan. Let's suppose you already did the previous sajda and this was the second one. Second one, you were about to do it two times, but you controlled yourself and your head touched it, and you can control not to touch it again, and you should lift your head. Don't let the head touch again, because once it touches, one sajda is counted. If you allow it to touch again, intentionally, that would be wrong. But in the speed, it's unintentional. It's sahwan. So, but in the middle of touching two touchings of the head, if you can control your head not to touch it again and you lift your head, you should do it. Now what would happen? You did not read the zikr of sajda. That again is is an sahwan, a negligence that is done sahwan. So what you would do is that obviously your sajda is counted, that you did the sajda, you didn't do the zikr of sajda sahwan, which is a ghair rukni wajib. Zikr of sajda is not done sahwan, which is a ghair rukni wajib, the salat will not be batil. So that's the example of sahwan doing it. So it's not nisyanan, you did not forget it. You know that doing one extra sajda will make the salat batil. You know the ruling, you did not forget the ruling.
So basically, one of them is positive, one of them is negative. One of them you forget, one of them you do something extra, one of them you do less than what you do.
In this example, yes. إذا لديك سؤال في خدمتكم تفضل.
أها. كنت أسأل عن السؤال، كنت أسأل عن الصلاة، إذا صليت وبالك مشغول في شيء ثاني مثلاً أو ما تدري وش الكلام اللي قلته في الركعة السابقة وما كنت يعني ما دريت عنه في الركعة اللي مضت، فسجلت ما دريت وش قلت في الركعة اللي راحت، فتكون بعض.
الصلاة لا تكون باطلة إذا أنت نسيت الركعة، يعني أي ركعة أنت فيها أنت لا تذكرها، عند ذلك الصلاة ليست باطلة. وظيفتك يعني طبعا ننظر أي ركعة كانت كنت فيها، يعني سواء أنت الشك بين الركعة الأولى أو الثانية أو الثانية أو الثالثة أو بين الثانية والرابعة، الثانية والثالثة أو الثالثة والرابعة. طبعا هناك شقوق للشبهة، ونعالج كل واحد من الشقوق بطريقة خاصة، وهناك حكم شرعي يختص بذاك الشق، فهناك فروق في المسألة. إذا كان الشك للإنسان بين الأولى والثانية طبعا صلاته باطلة، أو إذا كان الشك مثلا بين الثانية والثالثة كذلك صلاته باطلة. ولكن المشكلة إذا كان الإنسان لا يذكر ماذا يفعل في الصلاة، يعني هو أصبح غافلا بتمام المعنى كاملا بالكامل ولا يدري ماذا يتصرف الآن، فعند ذلك نحن نصل إن شاء الله عن قريب إلى هذه المسألة، أنه يعني النية يجب أن تكون من بداية العبادة قبل العبادة وفي أثناء العبادة وإلى نهاية العبادة مستمرة، حتى إذا أصبح الإنسان غافلا في وسط العبادة كذلك تكون العبادة باطلة. So pillar wajib is like this. So this is the difference between pillar and non-pillar wajib. Is that clear? So now the pillar wajibs are basically five, and there are five pillar wajib. The first is the niyat. And the second is takbiratul ihram, which means first Allahu Akbar. And the third one is the qiyam, which is that standing المتصل بالركوع. After the second surah, and before ruku, that kind of standing which is after the second surah and before the ruku, there's the qiyam al-mutasil bi-ruku.
That's in each rakat or just the first?
In every rakat. Yes, in every rakat. And also it includes the standing and qiyam, which is, there are two types of standings and qiyam which are wajib rukni, pillar wajib. One is the qiyam during the first takbir, takbiratul ihram. There are two types of qiyams and standings which are pillar wajibs. Okay? So this is the third thing, we'll discuss it. And fourth one is the ruku. And the fifth one is sajda, sujood. So which means two sajdas together. One sajda is not pillar wajib. Two sajdas together compose a pillar wajib. Now we'll come to these things one by one. Yeah, during the first takbir, which is takbiratul ihram, saying the Allahu Akbar in the halat of standing and qiyam is wajibun rukni.
Can we put that for number 2?
No, because that's a separate wajibun rukni. These are two different wajibun. Saying the takbir itself is also a wajibun rukni, and saying Allahu Akbar while you are standing, that's a separate wajibun rukni. There are two wajibun rukni at that time that you are doing. So now let's start with the first one, which is niyat. So niyat means, I think this is too light, probably. First one, niyat means an intention. Intention. So niyat, which is defined as qasd al qalb, means the intention, the driving force or the motivating force deep in the heart. Deep in the heart, which, what is the driving force behind the action? Why are you doing it? What is forcing you to do? That is the niyat. So niyat has nothing to do with the tongue. You don't have to say it with the tongue. Niyat is a amrun qalbi. It's something related to the heart. It's nothing to do with the lisan and tongue of the person. Even if we say it, it's not counted. In Allah, لا ينظر إلى صوركم ولا إلى أعمالكم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم. This is the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look towards your faces, suwarikum wala ila a'malikum, nor does He look towards your actions, walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum, but He looks towards your hearts. This hadith is also widely misunderstood by some people, and they say, well, you just have to have your niyat clean, and that's enough. You don't have to have hijab because your niyat is clean. Let's not misinterpret any hadith, okay? And let's not abuse the teachings. Let's apply the hadith precisely in the mawrid and in that instance, in that place where it is intended to apply, in the same meaning. We cannot misapply or misinterpret or or use the hadith. So basically, you know, this is nothing to do for a person to come up and say, you know, assalamu alaikum, that, you know, so we don't have to do the hijab because Allah only looks towards the qulub and the heart. And in the heart, I'm pure, I don't have any bad intention. So it doesn't matter, you don't have any bad intention. There is a hukum of Allah that you have to do the hijab as well. Isn't right? Amal has to be muntabit and according to your niyat. If your niyat is clean, make your amal also according to the niyat. That's why your niyat becomes sadiq. If you don't do your action according to the niyat, your niyat is kazeba. That's a false, fake niyat. That's not even counted to be niyat. If that's the case, that hijab is only in the heart, then take the clothes off. Why are we wearing the clothes? Isn't it right? That's simple nonsense interpretation of the hadith. So, basically, Allah looks towards the hearts, the souls. So when we have the correct niyat, will always, force us to do the correct actions. If sometimes I'm jahil, when I'm niyat is sadiqa and pure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always guides those people who have ikhlas towards Allah. Isn't it right? Ikhlas and taqwa will always, we earn hidayat and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never leaves his pious people and beloved people alone. So we need to make sure our qulub are tahir. So we have mukhlisan khalisatan liwajhillah, making the niyat correctly for the actions that we are doing, all the ibadat. Niyat is in the heart. So the common example which I always give in my presentations is that, you know, if you, very common example that I always give is that, you know, if you have your, let's suppose your time of dhuhr is 1 p.m. for example, let's suppose, and you, your friends are going to come into your house, you know, at 1, so you stand up and do the wudu at 12:45 with the niyat and intention that my friends will come and they will, at the time of prayers will arrive and they will ask me, let's go and pray, do you have wudu? And I will say, yes, I have it. So they will start praising me. Then this person always stays on wudu all the time. Well, if you do the wudu ahead of time for badanirullah, that's not a problem. That's very, very good. We should have the wudu all the time if we can. But if somebody does the wudu ahead of time with the niyat that I want to get the praise from my friends, so now he stands up and goes to the washroom, even if he says 100 times, I'm doing the wudu qurbatan ilallah, with his lisan and tongue, he says that statement, it's not counted to be. Allah is not going to look at you, what you are saying by your tongue. Allah knows what is you, what qasd and intention you have deep in your heart, which is the driving force to get the praise from your friends. That's the driving force deep in your heart. No matter what you say by your tongue is not counted. So niyat is something which is in the qalb always. Don't bother to say, even if you say it's not counted. It's always in the tongue. So niyat is something which has to be having three things before the action. Niyat is always before the ibadat, the worship. And it's through the ibadat. And it's till the end of the ibadat. The three things are important to remember. When you make the niyat, don't make the niyat after the ibadat. Some people say if you lost your money in a, you are in a picnic or camping, you lost your money, make the niyat of sadaqah. You can't make the niyat of sadaqah after losing the money. Maybe if you gave did the niyat before that, you wouldn't even lose the money. Isn't it right? Then that's an ibadat, because you do qurbatan ilallah if you do that.
Really?
Whenever I, you know, but then, you know, if you make the niyat in advance as a blanket niyat, it's very good. But then losing the money is not the Allah. If you are doing it for Allah, ibadat is doing an action for the sake of Allah, that action that Allah demanded. Doing an action which Allah demanded from you for the sake of His pleasure. Imtisalan li amrillah, obeying His command, getting, seeking His nearness, qurbatan Allah. So if you make a blanket niyat, you can make a blanket niyat, but then the action has to be an action which Allah demanded from you. Allah, what does Allah demand from us when we are doing the niyat of sadaqah? Allah demands that we give the sadaqah to the mu'min faqir people. Or al-umur al-khairiyya, mutlaq al-umur al-khairiyya, any good act. So giving to losing in the water or camping place is not a good act. So that's not matloob in the law. It's not demanded from
Allah.
It won't count. That's not going to work.
But when earlier you said it's a sawab if you do a blanket niyat. So how does the blanket, if I'm to lose the money?
No, that's not going to work about losing the money. Blanket niyat is not going
to
work. No. That. It doesn't reach any good khair purpose, or any mu'min who is faqih. It doesn't reach.
It may or may not. So
well, but from our behalf, we are not fulfilling what Allah demanded from us. When we lose it and drop it into water or a lake, did I fulfill what Allah clearly asked me to do? No, I did not fulfill from my behalf. I did not do as He commanded. So basically, niyat is before the action. Because there are some people who say, my dad was very good, he never paid the khums. He was a very nice person, he did a lot of charity work, but he never paid the khums. Can we count that money as the khums? The answer is that the niyat is done before the ibadat. Did your dad make the niyat of khums before the charities? No. You say, he did not. So basically, niyat is always done before the ibadat. If he did any charity work for the sake of Allah in the right way, obviously Allah does not waste the good deeds. In Allah la yudhi'u, Allah does not waste the good deeds of the good doers. You know, it's all with Allah. It will stay with Allah. So it's not, no reward will not be wasted if he did for Him. But it will not be counted in the place of khums. So niyat is always before the ibadah and through the ibadah. During the ibadah, you should maintain the niyat. Maintaining the niyat means what? Maintaining the niyat means that if somebody asks you, hey, what are you doing? Do you know the answer to reply? Or you start thinking, what am I doing? Let me think. I mean, you don't have that niyat hadir in your qalb, hudur and mustahdar in your qalb. The niyat should be always there in your heart. That means you should be able, you should know the answer any time. If somebody asks you during the wudu, somebody asks you during the salat, what are you doing? You should be able to say, we can't speak during the salat, obviously, but you know the answer to be able to say, if it was allowed to say, that I'm doing two rakats of fajr prayers, you know, which is adaa qurbatan ilallah. That's the through the action till then. So if somebody becomes ghafil during the ibadat, the ibadat is batil. If you become ghafil from the niyat. And it's till the end, that means you have to maintain it till the end. So even if you, in the last moment of ibadat, you are ghafil, you become lost, you don't know what you're doing, the ibadat will become batil. Because it has to be till the end of the ibadat. So this.
Salat
is batil. I'm coming to that example.
Actually, I was coming to the same example. Yeah, so here
so a person should fix in the niyat what sort of, what prayers is he doing. For example, this example, Zohar or Asr, a person starts a 4-rakat prayer and he did not mention in his niyat whether he's doing the Zohar or Asr. So this is not counted to be neither Zohar nor Asr. Is that right? What we say in our fiqh, Qasd al-Wajj. Qasl Wajh serves as the ID of the Salat. That's the ID card. You have to fix the ID. You have to know what exactly the ibadat you're about to do. So you have to make the niyat, I'm doing the Dhuhr rakat, 4 rakats of Dhuhr in time, Adha and Qurbatan and Allah. You don't have to say it, but you have that theme in your mind. Even the Fuqaha say that you don't have to say that sentence inside your heart. You have no need to repeat that complete sentence in your heart. You don't have to say the sentence over your tongue. You don't have to say the complete sentence inside your heart. That theme that I am praying 2 rakats of Fajr prayers or 4 rakats of Dhuhr prayers within time, Ada'an Qurbatan ilallah, to seek the nearness of Allah. That's enough. If you have that theme, how would you prove that you have the theme? We prove it in the same way. If somebody asks you, do you know the answer, to reply, or you start thinking. If you know the answer, to reply immediately, that means you have the niyat. If you start thinking, that means you don't have the niyat. So if you did not fix the which salat you are praying, like Dhuhr or Asr, then your salat is batil. Your niyat is not complete. Yeah, if you can't remember at all, yes, it will be batil. If you, you know, if you're, sometimes the mind went somewhere for a person, and but then you control yourself again. So as soon as you think, you remember it. Then it's okay. As soon as you think, you remember it. Then it's okay. But even if you think you don't remember it, that is not okay. Getting distracted is basically is going to affect the qabuliyat of the salat, because it's against the concept of khushu in the heart. A person is not focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why the heart is going here and there. So it is against the khushu, and without the khushu al qalb, the salat is not accepted. So it will harm the effect, the acceptance of the salat, but not the fiqhi, and from the fiqhi perspective, the salat is not batil. If a person's mind goes here and there, but as soon as you think you know the answer, so then it's okay, you still have the niyat. No, you cannot repeat the prayers, because obviously if you repeat the prayers, why would you repeat it? I mean, either there is a naqs or fault in the wajib rukni or ghair rukni, which is not there. It's just the tawajjuh in the qalb was not there, khudurul qalb was not there. So for the sake of the missing of khushu, cannot repeat the prayers. If somebody says his wajib prayers with the niyat of wujub for the second time, that would be bid'at.
But
you don't do that, because you already did according to fiqhi perspective, your salat was correct. Even if ma'fi dhimma, we don't repeat it. We do the things when there's a fault in our prayers. From the jurisprudence and fiqh perspective, when there is no fault, I didn't have the khushu al-qalb, then I should maintain the I should have higher level of taharat in the qalb, because khushu'ul qalb is obviously directly related to the sins, generally speaking, of mine. So because I have sins, that's why I don't have the khushu'ul qalb. So heart is not focused on Allah because it's not focused on the rest of the times of the day other than the salat. So if we can control ourselves completely in the rest of the hours and minutes in the day and the night, then for those few minutes of the salat, it will be easy for us to control, because we have we control ourselves all the time in the rest of the hours of the day and night. It would be hard not to focus on Allah. For the sake of missing of khushu, we cannot repeat the prayers. We should do tawbah from the sins. Because from the fiqhi perspective, there is no fault in the prayers. You repeat the prayers when there's either a mistake in the rukun, then it's gone, or ghair rukun in some of the cases we do that, but not in the cases where from terms of fiqh our salat is correct, but it's just the shara'itul qabool. The conditions of acceptance, which are four in Islam, are not fulfilled, then we can't repeat the prayers.
So
we do the tawbah.
In Ramadan, when we do the 100 rakahs, we do the imam tibbeh, that doesn't cover these prayers?
Well, that we do it, that if we haven't prayed at all for that day, that's a different story. Here in this mawrid, you have already prayed for that dhuhr of your this day. This is qiyas mal fariq. That's not the same thing. Correct. If you fiqhi in terms of Islamic jurisprudence, your salat was incorrect, then obviously you will repeat it. Otherwise, if you're from the fiqhi standpoint, your salat was correct, you don't have to repeat it. For not having khushu'ul qalb, repeating is not the solution. I can again have my mind going here and there because I did not do the tawbah and did not have that level of taharat. Khushu is entirely related to istighfar from the sins and taharat in the qalb. It's nothing to do with repeating. Even if I repeat, I may again do the same thing.
Wasn't there one of our life or ulama who did all his prayers three times in the first set of namaz, if it's not accepted, then the second set of namaz?
Yeah, that's there are some narrations which tell us about some of the scholars and some of the ashab of Aimma, at least two or three ashab of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam did, according to the narration, they repeated the prayers for each other. It's there. So, you know, it's maafi dhimma will not be haram, but what we are discussing here is not your obligation to do that. It's not your, but if somebody, it's not haram, but it's not your obligation to do that. Your obligation to repeat is only in the case when you are making a mistake in the rukun.
So what were these ashaba doing? What was their niyyah?
No, they were just doing ihtiyatan. If there is something mistake, so we repeat it. But it's not an obligation to do. If you want to repeat ihtiyatan, you can repeat it with the niyat of maafi dhimma. That's not haram. You can do that.
It
will be if you do it with the niyat of wujub. Because in 24 hours' time, Allah only obliged us to do five times of the prayers in the yawmiyah prayers. We cannot have a sixth prayer added with the niyat of wujub.
Okay. So, the shukur badan illallah, okay if I did it two more times or one more time?
Yeah, add the niyat of maafi dhimma as well.
So it's not penalized, basically, if the ashabu al-imam did it.
No, we can do it. What we are discussing is that it's not an obligation to do it. But otherwise, if you want to just do it like, you know, maafi dhimma, not with the niyat of wujub, just maafi dhimma, which is an ihtiyat, you can do it. You can repeat it. Maafi dhimma is not haram to do.
So in some of the cases the salat is about, we are discussing the niyat, the salat will be batil, and that is obviously if a person has a riya, which means showing off to the people. If we have the niyat of riya, and can be of several types. For example, a person, first type of riya, he wants to show to the people. That means the complete action is done for the sake of the people. The second is the second type of riya, which is also batil. It makes the salat batil and is haram, is to show to people plus Allah. Then you do the action for the sake of Allah plus the people, both. This is also batil and haram. The third possible situation where the niyat, if the niyat has riya in it, the salat will become batil and it's haram as well, is that you just do a part of salat for the people. For example, just the dua in qunut is just one part of the salat, not the whole salat. For example, I choose one dua specifically to show off to the people, God forbid. So the salat itself is not for the people, but one juz, one part of the salat, qunut, dua in the qunut, or a specific surah if I choose to please the people. That's also riya. The whole salat will be batil and also it's haram, both. If I choose a specific surah for the sake of people, or a specific dua, for example, for the sake of people, this is also messing up of my niyat.
So all these three
are salat will be batil plus haram. The fourth case of riya, where it's also batil and haram, is that he performs the prayers for Allah, but the specific time or the specific place he chooses to pray is for the sake of the people. For example, a person goes to the masjid to show off to the people. Salat he is doing for Allah, but going and doing the salat in the masjid, that he is doing with the niyat of showing off to the community. I come to the salat every time, showing off to the people. So place of the salat is for riya, salat is not for riya. Here also namaz is batil, niyat is batil, salat is batil, and it's haram. Or a specific time, awwal al-waqt, for example. Salat he's doing for Allah, but choosing that awwal al-waqt is for the sake of people. If the people were not there, he would delay the salat.
He did not delay it, and he did it on Awwal al-Waqt because he had to show to the people. Otherwise, for his personal khalwat, he would have done it later. That proves the salat is not riya, but the time, a choice of time, was for the sake of riya.
Is this only for salat or for any action?
Well, riya during any ibadat is obviously haram. And during fuqaha say that if you have the niyat during the ibadat, then your ibadat is batil. If you do the riya after you are done with the ibadat, then your ibadat is not batil. You already did the ibadat, but you did the riya after the ibadat, so you did a haram, but your ibadat is not batil. For example, after doing the salat, after doing my hajj, I start bragging about Hajj and talking to people, I did this. Blah, blah, blah. So, yes, so in that case, if I start mentioning my Hajj, the niyat of Riya, to the people, Hajj will not become batil, because at the time I was doing the Ibadat, I did not do the Riya at that time. So, Ibadat will not be batil because Ibadat is done, but it's a haram. So, during the Ibadat, Ibadat is batil plus the haram. After the ibadat, it's only haram. Ibadat is not batil.
So, following up on your example of time.
وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ.